Hi, my name is Conrad Reiger. I'm an abolitionist vegan from Toronto, Canada. You can find me at tastyveganmeals.blogspot.com. You're listening to Coexisting with Non-Human Animals.
Hi everyone, and greetings from Dublin, Ireland. This is Dr. Roger Yates, animal activist, sociologist, and a vegan since 1979, giving a shout out to all those vegans who listen to Coexisting with Non-Human Animals, the show you're about to hear. It'll be a good one. Bye for now.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Vegetarian.
Vegan. Yeah, well, let's get it right.
You used the word animals, but I suppose what you should have said is non-human animals. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself, then make a change.
Hello and welcome to another fine episode of Coexisting with Non-Human Animals, the premier podcast of the Invercargill Vegan Society. Episode 57, Live Exporting Australians. A quick throwback to last episode's Damn Farmers Ruining the Country, Make Me Want to Throw Up story. Pollution in the Waituna Lagoon, an internationally recognised area of New Zealand, which is being ruined forever by dairy farmers' waste. They call it nutrients. Anyone else would call it shit. From the Southland Times, two charges were for discharging dairy shed effluent onto land from a travelling irrigator in circumstances that may have resulted in the contaminants entering water. One charge was for depositing stock carcasses into water, and the final charge was for discharging sludge and dairy shed effluent from an incomplete effluent disposal system. Man, a lot of politically correct talk there. You know, the whole purpose of newspeak is so that you don't have to think. You know, 1984, the objective was apparently for people to quack like a duck. Quack, 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 quack. It doesn't really mean anything, all these words that they're using. They just say it to sound good, apparently. Dairy shed effluent, as in all the shit left by the cows as they are mechanically milked a couple times a day. An irrigator that sprays that nutrient on the fields and depositing stock carcasses into water, as in throwing the dead slaves' corpses into the water. Lovely! They should mention this on the milk carton. The Australian program Four Corners ran an episode about live export, the Australian practice of sending live animals by boat to overseas countries to be killed there. It's looked down upon as cruel by animal welfare campaigners. Here are some clips from the show.
Shipped to Indonesia will die humanely, stunned before slaughter in conditions similar to those in Australia. Most will not.
How can any killing be humane? Is it okay for a woman to kill a man if she stuns him first? Like if he's in the bathtub and she throws an iPod in, giving him a light shock and an expensive paperweight, whatever paper was, before cutting off his head? Is that cool under Australian law? No, not quite. Let's respect other animals' right to life.
Like this are likely to turn the stomach of the most hardened observer.
I'd seen gruesome pictures of this place before we came here, but actually being here with a smell of blood and fear is almost totally overwhelming. The noise of those terrified animals makes you wonder how the Australian cattle industry could support an operation like this.
The smell of blood, fear. Gee, I wonder what happiness smells like. My bed is on bananas. Knives being sharpened, dropped, concrete, water. Any slaughterhouse fits her description, the footage seen. Come on, if this was an Australian or even a saintly New Zealand slaughterhouse, the average non-vegan viewer would be stunned by what they saw. Oddly, it's often considered not nice to stun viewers with graphic footage, aka showing them about what's on their plate at that very moment.
An industry has animal welfare at its forefront, and it is its most important priority.
Another politically acceptable answer. We care about animal welfare, it's number one, it's what we do. If treating animals nicely was number one, your employers would be taking all those animals to those lovely Australian beaches for a picnic, followed by surfing. Let's be honest, above all else, you wouldn't be involved in that industry if you weren't making a profit. Would you do it for free, Mr. Guy in charge of live export, just because you love being nice to animals? No.
Inside the abattoir, all animals are equal in their distress.
And all slaughterhouses and abattoirs, as she said, are equal too. I do admit to being shocked by what I saw at first. So the ritual custom is to tie animals up before we cut their throats, right? So in their wisdom, the Australians decide to give the Indonesian slaughterhouses lovely control boxes. That's what they're called, a control box. Metal sidings that the animals go into. They are tied up through steel rods set in the concrete, a sloping wedge-shaped floor. A side swings away off the control box, and after having their throat cut, they slam their heads against the sloping concrete in panic, until they bleed to death. It's not nice to see. It's not nice to have it happen to you. Head slaps are described. As we see, the animals bashing their heads against the concrete, trying to regain their footing while bleeding to death. They stumble, they fall over, they thrash against the concrete slope. All this designed by Australians because it's better welfare than simply chasing them around a room, trying to tie them to a post, and then killing them without the control box and its lovely sloping concrete wedge.
It was quite unbelievable how proficient they were.
Were there any head slaps in Gondrong?
There were some. Yeah, there were some.
How does that square with efficient?
Well, it doesn't really slow the process all that much, because the slaughterman can usually restrain the animal quite quickly to prevent the slapping.
Doesn't it hurt, though?
I don't know.
The report did say there were instances of poor animal welfare in the abattoirs.
A couple of the handlers were a little bit exuberant with the use of a goad and a very long pointy stick. Sometimes a finger was in an eye socket. That's not required.
Overly exuberant with a goad. They smacked them around too much, you know, before they killed them. Putting their fingers in the animal's eyes to upset them, to hurt them, that's not required. What, it's above a passing mark, it's extra credit in this display of disrespect, of cruelty? New Zealand dairy farmers often use a length of pipe. They've told me it's to keep them moving, as the farm worker wishes, to tap them with. I call it their beating stick, which the farmers didn't like. I wouldn't keep calling it that way, but let's be honest, that's what it's used for, to hit animals with, when they don't do what they're told, because they don't understand English, right? But they do understand, go this way, no, not that way, whack, this way, damn you. Animals are hit in Australia, New Zealand, America, Britain, everywhere. Yet it was shown to non-vegan viewers as though it's some kind of out-of-control abuse to hit them with a stick. New Zealand dairy farmers use a plastic pipe. It's just part of the job. After all, it's not like the animals are going to, you know, sign up to be killed. You have to control them. You have to control where they go. Gee, if only we could hear the opinion of the world's leading expert on animal welfare. A person who designs slaughterhouses, you know, where we kill animals.
Four Corners sent the abattoir footage to the world's leading authority on cattle behaviour, Dr. Temple Grandin. She was blunt about the industry's assessment that conditions were generally good.
That is, well, it's bullshit. I don't know if you're allowed to say that on Australian TV or not. To say that that's generally good, that is just totally wrong.
Animals that have only been handled on horseback can be exceedingly dangerous to handle on foot.
Temple Grandin is not an animal activist. She's an advisor to the cattle industry. Watching the footage from Kaliawi, Grandin was shocked.
The conditions are absolutely terrible. I mean, you've got a box designed to make a cattle fall down. That violates every humane standard there is all around the world. What I want to know is, why is Meat and Livestock Australia's name on the side of the chute?
Meat and Livestock Australia say they trained the slaughtermen here in January this year. One of the distressed animals falls on the slope leading to the box.
They've got a skating rink for a ramp that the animals can barely, you know, walk up. This is just an absolutely horrible setup. Now the guy's on top of the animal, kicking it because he can't get it to move. I'm really shocked that Meat and Livestock Australia would be involved in building facilities this terrible.
When the slaughtermen fail to move him, they drive another steer over the top.
With a Brahmin type cattle, they can get so stressed that they'll just go on tonic immobility. I think this animal's he's just down now and not even protesting. He's so stressed.
Grandin was particularly critical of the role of the Australian government and industry.
Is the government of Australia going in and providing these really horrible facilities? Something's really wrong. I was really shocked to see Meat and Livestock of Australia's name on this equipment.
I accept that Temple Grandin may well have concerns. At times, we have concerns about the standards at certain facilities. That's why.
Which ones?
We
continue. Which ones are you concerned about at the moment?
I can't be specific. There are 100 facilities receiving Australian cattle in the Indonesian marketplace.
Well, of course you're not going to name names, otherwise the slaughterhouses would be angry with you, wouldn't they? They're all terrible. All the New Zealand slaughterhouses are terrible. All the Australian slaughterhouses are terrible. All the American slaughterhouses are terrible. And why do we do this to other animals?
Animals bellowing is haunting.
I remember thinking so clearly at the time that this animal just didn't understand why he was being beaten, and it was almost like he was calling out why. And there were no answers to that question.
Medan is the capital of North Sumatra, one of the country's fastest growing cities. And as the middle class grows, so does the demand for beef. Enough for Greg Pankhurst's company to build a feedlot here.
Medan's a booming economy. There's a big industry up there, especially with palm oil. So we saw the opportunity up there to start selling meat in that area.
Oh, they get involved in that lovely palm oil stuff, responsible for deforestation, right? Oh, I heard back from Chris Noara, by the way, my friend who likes Light Licks ice cream too. We think it's only the Hokey Pokey one, which has the palm oil in it, and it's used to make little Hokey Pokey bits. But even then, I still prefer So Good. I think it's basically the same price, and I prefer the So Good soy ice cream. So that's still my recommendation, that none of the So Good ice cream has palm oil on it at all, and I personally think it tastes better to me. So, there's vanilla and there's chocolate, which is quite good. They're both quite good. Why are we doing this to animals? Why are we killing them? And we do it because we've grown up believing it's good to eat meat. It's wrong to hurt an animal. We don't want to see blood and guts, animals dying, but we do want to eat their dead bodies. Something has got to give, and apparently it's not us giving up meat, but other animals having their lives taken. Let's end the demand. You're not tough or manly or rich or attractive for eating flesh. I'd like to mention, farmers don't believe they are evil. They believe they're saving the world, making food, keeping the economy afloat. They're doing what they've grown up doing. They don't believe they're hurting animals. They have animals killed the good way.
Last year, Rowan Sullivan went with him to see how the slaughter was done.
Look, I wouldn't say I was happy with it. It takes a bit long. And I guess the other thing is that the animal's still conscious.
Sullivan runs a small operation of 36,000 hectares. 500 of his cattle were part of the shipment that went to Indonesia on the Ocean Drover.
We didn't know when the next boat would be going, so yeah, we were keen to get them out.
He's not happy about how his animals will be killed, but nor can he afford to stop sending them.
We need to be moving towards stunning as our ultimate goal, but recognising that that it's going to take time, and that we need to be a bit patient about it, because there's lots of reasons why stunning is not going to be taken up straight away.
You say we've got to have patience, but why should the animals suffer while we help Indonesia get its act together on stunning?
Because I think that um,
tough question, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's hard to think up a good reason why we should be doing this. Deborah Ashton managed to interview Lynn White, the main investigator for all this Australian live export business. Here are some clips from Deborah's show, Animal Rights and Wrongs. The first clip, why couldn't we kill other animals in Australia and then send over dead bodies?
Many people would wonder why they need to have live animals sent over to places like Indonesia. Why can't the animals be slaughtered in Australia and then meat products sent over to countries like Indonesia? Why don't they find that as acceptable?
Well, they do import some what we call boxed meat, which is chilled and frozen. Mm. The local preference, and I underline the word preference, is for meat that's killed that day. But if you consider that in Indonesian abattoirs, the carcasses are being cut up on the floor amongst the blood and filth, then transported in open backs of open utes, covered with flies, to the wet markets where they're sold as a hot product. What is actually being encouraged is the consumption of meat that would be deemed unfit for human consumption in both New Zealand and in Australia. So it is the local preference, but we should never have been encouraging that to occur.
I don't think something's fitness in Australia or New Zealand matters, but that the lives of the animals we're having killed, that we are disrespecting animals and that we're hurting them.
It is the local preference, but we should never have been encouraging that to occur, because we're actually providing animals that have been turned into meat filled with bacteria, which is the last thing that anyone should be eating. What we should have been highlighting is that this is not the way to be producing a meat product, that it needs refrigeration, and been encouraging the government to invest in that. You know, if Australia's, between our industry and government, have invested some $4 million in these terrible restraint boxes in Indonesia, had that been put into chillers at different outlets, this situation wouldn't currently be occurring.
I'm not fond of the phrase, turning animals into. Does a murderer turn you into meat when she chops you up? It's not a magic wand where pumpkins turn into carriages here. We kill other animals. We call their flesh meat. It doesn't turn into anything. Like, wine doesn't really turn into blood, even if you think it does or describe it as doing so. What about this refrigeration angle? Should we really be spending all our time asking for better dead animal storage overseas? How about asking them not to kill other animals in the first place? All that filth? Where do we think it came from? It's not like the meat has never touched blood or waste before. Where did the filth come from? It was inside the animal for years until being spilled out in seconds or minutes or hours ago.
Close one abattoir, there's another one down the street that they'll go to. So it's the most meaningless and pathetic response. And for a couple of hours, I think the public thought that the government had done something, but the media quickly jumped in and explained the reality of this.
Exactly. If industry boycotts the bad slaughterhouse, it will just go somewhere else. Let's focus on the problem, that we have huge factories where animals are hurt and killed in the first place. And why? Because we enjoy eating their flesh. We've grown up eating their flesh. We believe it makes us manlier, taller, stronger, more sexually potent. It's some kind of magic red lump, full of possibilities. Or, it's part of a dead body. Official sociologist to the Invercargill Vegan Society, Dr. Roger Yates, was kind enough to contribute this clip.
Hi, this is Roger Yates reporting from Dublin in Ireland. Now, I guess that everyone who listens to this podcast is going to be aware that there's been a massive fuss in recent days, globally, but in Australia in particular, about this revelation, this expose of the meat industry, the live export industry from Australia through to Indonesia. There's a heck of a lot that can be said about this issue because there's been massive coverage, TV coverage, radio no doubt, but lots and lots of things on the internet and in the print media. I think as a general matter in terms of claims making, which is what I would focus on sociologically, the general issue is that there tends to be a slight racist tinge to many of the claims that have been made over this issue. And unfortunately, quite a lot of those claims, which have got this kind of racist overtone to it, have been made by animal advocates themselves. Now, I think that there's a reason for that, in the sense that live exports tend to be conducive to this kind of claims making, especially when non-human animals have been transported from so-called developed nations to developing ones. So there's always this thing about, well, we're well regulated, but those savages over there are not, and you know, this can, as it were, taint the coverage, and I think it's very kind of unfortunate. Another general matter, I think, is that this comes over very strongly, is that some animal advocates have suggested very strongly that the real issue for them is the fact that Australian animals, in inverted commas, are going to Indonesia. They don't seem to be worried particularly that cows per se are being sent there, or else they're saying things like, well, Australia needs to make a stance, and then once the issue is resolved in Australia, which means banning the live exports, then even if the trade moves elsewhere, and even if that trade goes somewhere where welfare by whatever measure is, in inverted commas, worse, then we can move to that, but we're making a stance in Australia. So there is that problem as well, in the sense that some animal advocates seem to be looking at this issue as a national or a nation thing, whereas obviously this trade is global, and so we need to think globally about it. Now, the particular bit of press that I want to focus on for this report comes from ABC News, and it was written by Jeremy Thompson. And the title is that Labour needs a moral compass on live exports, and that's credited to Wilkie. And Wilkie here is MP Andrew Wilkie, who's described as an independent federal Member of Parliament, not a federal Member of Parliament, but a federal one. And the report says that Wilkie is set to launch a private member's bill to ban cattle exports to Indonesia, and to do that immediately, and also to phase live animal exports within 3 years. Well, the rest of the article, essentially, is a reaction to this proposal for a bill from the agricultural minister, Joe Ludwig, and also from the industry itself, in the shape of the Meat and Livestock Australia group. And one interesting thing about that is that this Meat and Livestock Australia group has apologised to Australians, it says, for the, quote, hurt and anger, unquote, caused by what they call acts of cruelty. What's very interesting there, of course, from a speciesist point of view, is, or an anti-speciesist point of view, if you like, there's no apology to the non-human victims. The apology is being made to Australians, because what's gone on here, of course, is that the Australian public have seen things in the past week which hitherto they've been unaware of, and has effectively been hidden from them. And so these horrendous acts of cruelty which have been exposed has caused so much upset that the meat business in Australia have apologised for it. The MPs are calling what they've seen shocking and sickening and all of it, and they're wanting to take action. Now, of course, the action that's been proposed, either within legislation or just in terms of the immediate regulation that the meat industry can bring about, the action is all about welfare. There is no suggestion in this piece that animal use is an issue. The suggestion is that the treatment of the animals that have been seen as the problem. And that also has been incorporated into the idea that the 11 abattoirs which were exposed by the programme, they've had live exports to them suspended, but not to everywhere else. And again, there's an implication, at the very least, that, well, these are the worst, they've been exposed, and so we've taken action, but then we'll now look at the entire trade and we'll look at that. But we will, of course, look at it from the welfare point of view about treatment, and not anything like a rights based thing about use. This is always the case. If anything like an animal rights case is made against animal use, the industry and the politicians involved always respond with welfare. That's the way these things work. What's intermingled with the welfare claim in this report are the economics. And so again, there are mention that there are a lot of people involved in the meat processing industry, 30,000 people in the Australian meat processing industry. And the spokesperson for the meat trade is saying that they want those people to be able to go home at night and be comfortable with their families about when they talk about their work. And they want to be able to say that their work or their place of work is a really good place to be. And so, of course, that means that everything needs to be regulated, the welfare needs to be right, and everything else. So again, all the focus, as ever, on animal welfare. Then he talks about the losses and the financial impact of what's going on, and pointing out that there are $300 million at stake in terms of every year in the livestock industry to the live export industry to Indonesia. Now that sounds a lot, but what he's doing, he's saying yes, but that's within an overall meat industry in the country of $7 billion. And so he's saying in that sense then that the trade to Indonesia is a part of it. And what's really worrying for the meat industry in Australia here is that the Australian public have had their confidence in the meat business in general shaken by what they've seen. And so consequently, the claim now is that the losses that may be incurred now out of this $7 billion are probably more than the $300 million that they're getting from the live export trade in the first place. And so therefore there's a big economic incentive in order to kind of sort this out. But really what's been said, of course, is that we're going to sort out the welfare, we're going to sort out the regulation of this use. There is no critique of the use. As ever, animal rights doesn't come into these issues. This is Roger Yates reporting for Coexisting with Non-Human Animals.
Thank you very much, Roger. You can find his marvellous show at www.human-nonhuman.blogspot.com or by searching for his show on iTunes, Human Non-Human. And now in an attempt to boost flagging listenership, here's Elizabeth Collins of NZ Vegan Podcast. How are you, Elizabeth?
Hi, Jordan. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on your show again.
So this episode, I'm talking about live export and Australian live export to Indonesia, and I thought it'd be good to have Elizabeth on. It's always exciting to hear Elizabeth's opinion because she gets out there on the street, and I thought for this segment we can talk about the things that we've heard and what we've seen. I've mostly been reading things on text. I haven't really been talking with people on the street here about it. My family hasn't really talked about it or anything, or people in the shop, but maybe you've seen a lot more about it than I have, Elizabeth. I think, especially in Australia, people are talking about it everywhere.
To be honest, Jordan, I have to say that nobody at my job's been talking about it. Okay. And I haven't done the stall for 2 weeks. I'm getting that organized to do during the week. So I've only seen it online, the same as you.
Well, we know that in Australia it's just dominating everything, it seems, and just every newspaper column's about it and videos on the news all the time. There's a news piece out today about something about they're going to ban partial or at least all of it to Indonesia, but that doesn't include sending live animals to other countries, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's obviously changing a lot in Australia at the moment, and people are really angry about this, and you can see it from things like Facebook. You can see the amount of people commenting and liking it, even though they strongly dislike it. And all the people that changed, the amount of friends I have who have changed their profile pictures and all that to that ban live export thing. And I always think, you know, surely that's a sign of democracy, right? You know, what goes on Twitter and Facebook, that changes the world. We can see just how angry people have felt about this. And I think I'd like to start off by reading a couple of comments that I've seen, and then I'd like to read some of my answers. And I thought maybe we could go over some ways to deal with this and what we think.
Sounds good.
So one of the main responses I've seen from people is things like, I think all animals count, but we cannot influence animal welfare and thus animal rights in other countries directly. We have to start on our own using the democratic process. And that basically means that we have to work together with these ban live export to Indonesia or ban it everywhere from Australia.
And was that a vegan who wrote that?
Like
an animal person?
I don't think so for that one, but I've seen a lot of vegans that have written the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think it really is a problem just to focus on that one issue. And as we both agree, I think we both agree on promoting veganism.
Yes.
So my first comment was, hi, insert name here. If people went vegetarian first, whatever it might mean, i.e. I'm a vegetarian who wears skin, or, well, I think it's okay to kill chickens every now and then. Hey, I'm trying. We can't all be perfect, you awful pushy vegan with your consistency. Rather than moving towards veganism first, I would put that down to education they had seen. Nobody ever told me about veganism. I had never so much as heard the term before, knowingly, in my entire life. I'm only a recent vegan, living in New Zealand, an affluent, well-to-do country. No jokes, you Australians, because I'm talking with Australians. I had never heard of veganism until I pretty much was vegan. It really sets a horrible message when we focus on one issue, such as this ban live export campaign. Once that goes through, all the people will sigh, yes, we won, we stopped animal cruelty, we're humane, and go back to their ways. Heck, they weren't even asked to change anything in their own lives. It was all those greedy live exporters and those awful people far, far away, all those awful slaughterhouses. A certain Mr. Jackson had a song about seeing our own responsibility in life and doing what we could to help others and not walking past pretending not to see their need. In the described example, having a warm coat and being well off and walking past the homeless people each day and pretending not to see them. We should acknowledge what we can do in our own lives, and I do believe people can accept veganism, you know, when it's actually promoted. If it's always going to be radical, if it's seen as just some guy in New Zealand and his chicken friends promoting veganism every now and then, let's build a true movement based on actual change, on actual respect, on the promotion of veganism as easy. I truly find it to be easy as easy as not. They're usually product on the same shelf, cow's breast milk and soy milk from this lovely country starting with A on the same exact shelf. Do I reach for X or do I reach for Y? That simple choice has a huge impact. Many lives are affected in that two-second action of choosing between 2 1-liter containers of a white liquid. And so good essential tastes so much better than cow's breast milk. You'd have to be silly not to choose ethically. So that was my first comment. And
Where was that comment? I'm sorry. Where was that comment?
I posted this on, I believe it was Animals Australia Facebook page.
Animals
Australia
Facebook.
Just where I saw people talking about it.
Very good. Okay.
And I just wanted to think about what you thought about. How do you deal with people when you hear them so angry and so upset? And a lot of them have been genuinely crying and upset about this sort of seeing the coverage on television. And maybe they really hadn't seen slaughterhouses before, or not to this extent anyway. How do you deal with people when they're upset about a single issue, Elizabeth?
Well, sorry about that noise.
That's
that
okay.
Was my soup. Sorry about that. Well, I think that what a couple of abolitionists in Australia have been doing, Renata Peters and Jeff Pertz, have been trying to wake people up to the fact that Australian slaughterhouses are just as bad. Slaughterhouses are horrific places, no matter what country they're in. And I think that that's important with regard to this particular issue, to remind people that it's a really delusional to think that there's any such thing as humane slaughter. And I just do what you try to do. What you just did in your comment is, I mean, I acknowledge that it's really upsetting to them, and you know, that's the point. That's what the videos are supposed to do. The sad thing is that they make these videos showing these atrocities that are beyond. They are just beyond your worst nightmare that you could ever imagine. You know, the type of thing that will haunt you, and it's just common practice everywhere in the world. Now, there might be slight variations. There might be hammers used, you know, in some, or there might be knives used in others. I mean, there's no such thing as a non-horrific slaughterhouse. So when I speak to somebody about this kind of thing, I just kind of try to sort of snap them out of it. Like, you know, you see how upset you are. Do you have any idea that the animals whose milk you're drinking right now, you know, in your coffee, suffered just as horrifically as the ones you're crying about across the water there? And then they, you know, then they start to do comparisons of suffering, and then that's where you have to kind of fight against this welfareism thing that, you know, this humane, the humane movement. I mean, I hold the welfare movement just as responsible for the prevalence of this hypocrisy and delusion as I do the industry itself, I'm sorry to say. So I just try to do what you do, snap people out of it, wake them up to the fact that the animals that they're using suffer just as much. When it gets to that level of suffering, you can't make comparisons. I mean, you know, it's just, it's all torture. So I don't like to get into little comparisons. Like, it's like comparing, you know, having your thumb chopped off to having your finger chopped off. Yeah, maybe it's slightly worse to have your thumb chopped off. Maybe it's more painful. But at that level of torture, I mean, is there really any significant difference? No. And the animals in Australian slaughterhouses, I mean, why aren't they doing videos of Australian slaughterhouses? That's what I want to know. If they want to, they want to wake people up, if Animals Australia cares about animals and they supposedly claim, like most other welfare groups, that they do want people to go, what do they say, vegetarian or whatever. I mean, you know, why don't they do that? You know,
I've got a second comment I'd like to read, and I saw one mention people going vego, and I thought, vego, not another one of those sort of veg and veganish. No, don't worry, it's just Australian for vegetarian, don't worry. Vego, it's just Australian for vegetarian, I think.
They use it in New Zealand all the time. I know people who say it to me all the time. I can't stand it.
It's Australasian for vegetarian then.
It is Australasian. Yeah, it drives me nuts. I'm like, vego, what does that mean? Or veggies, even worse. Yeah,
I don't like veggies either, but for vegetables, like veggies, I got to get... Apparently they use in America now, like, get your 5+ a day of veggies.
See, I don't mind it if you're talking about vegetables. I just don't like it when you're talking about people.
I like things long and complicated, so...
Yeah. Oh, well, I make fun of it. Like, if somebody's like, I'm veggie, I'm like, what are you, broccoli or carrot? I mean, what does that mean?
So my second comment was about just the way that people, this was sort of a reply to what I got, and it was about how people see welfare and animal rights as the same thing. And I think they're very, very different things, personally. Yeah. I said again in my second comment, hi, insert name here. See, I think animal rights, as in other animals matter for who they are, they should have the right not to be seen as a thing or as an it, but as sentient beings of their own. And animal welfare, as in we are greater than animals, we give ourselves the right to kill 56 plus billion annually a year for pleasure / tradition / profit. But hey, let's make sure the throat-cutting knife is sharp so our conscience stops whining, are two very different things. Nobody is against animal welfare. Butchers, slaughtermen and slaughterwomen. Farmers do not think of themselves as evil. Non-vegans do not think they are evil. Perhaps they have twinges of guilt every now and then, but they live in a society where the emperor truly has no clothes. Let's be consistent and speak out for our chicken friends by promoting veganism. When we tell the truth about our own veganism, how we feel other animals matter for who they are inside, not because it's my property, then I feel we really help all animals. Going after live export from Australia to Indonesia doesn't help the plus 49 billion chickens killed each year, each of whom deserves no less than the 5 pets a day my chicken friends get. And I ended with a couple of videos of the chickens.
Awesome.
I just really think it is important that we do focus on things like that there is a hell of a difference between animal rights and animal welfare. And I just really think that really matters. I really like your store, and I'd like to do more things in public like you, Elizabeth.
Well, I have to say, the work you're doing on your website is very, very inspiring. I mean, I think it's fantastic. I mean, websites are very, very important nowadays, so don't underestimate the importance of that work. I'm very neglecting on that end. You know, I might do the store, but my web stuff is very, very neglected. So I think they're equally important. So, I enjoy being out in the community doing it. I plan to do a lot more of that, but I certainly very much respect the work that you're doing. So I really, really do.
I'm hoping to get out there more in public. And one of the things I'm working on is designing some sort of A4 posters that I'm going to print off and put up with some sort of wheat paste in places where you're allowed to. Although I'll do it at the dead of night just to be sort of have fun. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully some people see the Invercargill Vegan Society site. And, of course, that links to other things. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to talking with more people in person about it too.
Yes, it's very good. And it's very different from online advocacy. It's a lot nicer. When people are face-to-face with you, they generally are more respectful. You know, I find it a much more pleasant experience than the online, to be honest. Even myself, I mean, it's easy to hide behind the pen. You can be really, really rude and hard, and it sort of doesn't, it's not, you know, it's harder to do that in person. So it kind of keeps everybody a little more civilized, I think. So I like being in the face-to-face, in the face-to-face category. May I ask, did you get responses to those comments that you made? I thought they were really good comments. I noticed that All Animals Australia had lots of people just going on there ranting, mostly non-vegans, and then I didn't really notice that they were actually reading a lot. I didn't see a lot of responses. I saw a lot of venting on there. Did anyone, what were the kind of responses you got?
I got two replies so far, and I think, I believe Australia's behind us. I wish I had like a snare drum or something to play right now. In terms of time zone, and maybe they haven't seen it just yet. Yeah, but it's, you know, trying to go with a joke here. Thanks for the laugh track. So maybe they haven't all seen it yet, and I mean, I don't expect 300 plus people to start replying to me. But I have been talking with people, and they said that they'd never thought of about it before, and they had just, this was the first sort of blood and guts they've ever seen. And I just sort of suggested this happens just the same in Australia, and I didn't send them to Earthlings or the Animals film, or I do think things like that are important to see. I don't generally point people straight to them. I do mention them, and then I like to sort of have my gentle videos of the chickens here and just sort of mention why they deserve respect and not why we shouldn't be spilling blood everywhere. I've written down a couple of notes about just how we talk about live export is sort of like a big evil term, like factory farming. And I think I think that the farmers, they must hate factory farming because it's accepted, isn't it? You hear it in news media, in the mainstream media, they just say factory farming, factory farmers. It doesn't really mean anything though, does it? It's a bit like, all the sort of welfare things, it is just sort of a term and it doesn't really mean anything. It's humane or it's not humane. Well, what does humane mean? It means you cut their throats this way, or it means this, or it means that. But the other things, they talk about the subsidies, and a lot of the other ones talk about the American subsidies on industry as if, you know, the animal welfare people, do you know that without factory farm subsidies, all the rainbows would come back and the unicorns would frolic in Golden Gate Park and there'd be no more homelessness and the war would stop? it goes on and on and on. But New Zealand is subsidy free, and we're an exporter. We send all the corpses overseas dead and milk, and it normally is powder, I believe. And we're an exporter. We're one of the few large countries to be sort of in a free market without government subsidies, and yet we export to the world, and we're buying farms in China at the moment. A lot of our big industries are trying to get into Chinese operations just to get sort of a foot in the door there. And I mean, it's not a matter of treatment or subsidies in the case of America. It's not to do with anything about factory farming. It's just disrespect and the main issue. That's what they're there to do. They're there to kill other animals, and it doesn't matter how they do it, and they don't want to die.
And it's all factory. I mean, the bottom line is it's all factory farming. I mean, they're deluding themselves if they think that a free range, what they call a free range barn, isn't factory farming. Have you seen the videos of those places? Mm-hmm. I've seen the videos of those places. And that's a factory farm. It might be, that's what makes me angry about that term. It's another misleading term. It really is.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with scale though. Like it wouldn't matter to us if someone killed one of my chickens here, if I came back, and it's not because they're my property, it's because they're my friends and I love them for who they are.
Jordan.
One chicken killed is a tragedy. Well, thank you very much for coming on my show, Elizabeth, and I'm glad that you would decide to come on, and it'll be great for my ratings. I'm always inspired by what you do in the stall and things, and I'm not quite as confident as you to go out by myself here. I am looking forward to putting posters up. I do talk to people about it each day, generally online, but also in person. I'm always wearing my vegan t-shirts, and some of them made by Emmy and Hamilton. Yes. And it's great to stay in contact with people like you both, and I'm really enjoying. I always make sure when I walk home, I always have my coexisting with non-human animals bag and my NZ Vegan podcast bag. I took it to Back and Save tonight. And I always make sure I sort of flaunt them by having the logos on the outside. I really wish I could get them double-sided, the printing on both sides. But I always make sure I have the little logos out, and just to see the word vegan in more places, I think it's really great.
I think it's invaluable what you're doing. even if that was all you were doing, and you're doing a lot more than that. And I really hope that that more people in New Zealand, because this is where we are, but also in the world, can see the value of that, of just being unequivocal and promoting veganism. Thanks so much for having me on your show, and you know, keep up all the great work that you're doing. And
well, thank you, Elizabeth. You're marvelous too. You mentioned it as being sort of priceless. Yeah, it has a big impact, I think, but unfortunately, yeah, it is priceless. But I would love to get paid. I just wish the Invercargill Vegan Society outfit could sort of pay me for renting space on all my bags and stuff. But it would be great to be making a job out of this, a career. but yeah, unfortunately, it is priceless in both senses of the term. Yes. Elizabeth, thank you for being on my show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Jordan. Thank you so much.
You can find Elizabeth at www.nzveganpodcast.blogspot.com and again on iTunes, NZ Vegan Podcast. Let's get to the root of the problem, that we are killing animals in the first place. We can't do it nicely or humanely or kindly. Let's respect other animals and other life, other sentient beings. Why would we want to eat dead flesh if we hadn't grown up with its acceptance? I certainly don't feel like I'm missing out by being vegan, any more than I felt like I was missing out by not eating cats and dogs. It's easy to be vegan. I think it's as easy to be vegan as not, personally. Let's promote kindness for other animals. People are willing to hear us out on this radical vegan thing. This whole live export thing is a sideshow. Getting upset about seeing slaughter on the other side of the world, while we're generally not shown our own slaughterhouses during mainstream, primetime television. Let's direct people's disgust to what we're directly doing, by what we can ourselves change. Because, you know, veganism is all about looking at yourself in the mirror. Going after this single issue, Australian live export to Indonesia, pretending it's in any way worse than if we killed these animals here in Australia, or if we killed them in America, or if we killed them in New Zealand, it's all a distraction. It's not asking non-vegans to think about their own involvement, what we can really do to make a change for others.
There's one abattoir, there's another one down the street that they'll go to, so it's the most meaningless and pathetic response, and for a couple of hours I think the public thought that the government had done something, but the media quickly jumped in and explained the reality of this.
Exactly. No doubt this uproar will die down. We'll all continue our daily lives, safe in the knowledge live export has gone away, that our meals are humanely killed, an oxymoron if ever we've heard one. And I've linked to an Australian article about more New Zealand dead animals being sent to Indonesia. If Australia is playing hard to get now, fine. They just ask for more New Zealand animals to be killed and sent over dead. Supply and demand. If they're not going to kill Australian animals, they're going to kill animals from my country, New Zealand. Let's focus on veganism. Thank you for listening to Coexisting with Non-Human Animals. You can find the script for this episode, as well as downloads for every episode of Coexisting with Non-Human Animals at coexistingwithnonhumananimals.co.nz. If you want to contact me, even just to say you've listened, please say hello by email, jaywontdart@gmail.com, jaywontdart, or on Twitter, jaywontdart, or Facebook, jaywontdart, jaywontdart. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you for listening.
Away from the ocean of animals as things and toward the moral personhood of animals. The choice is ours. If you're not vegan, go vegan. It's easy. It's better for you. It's certainly better for the planet. And most importantly, it's the morally right thing to do.